This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find these messages inspiring, refreshing, and hope-giving. Thank you for listening. This week's message is the first of a series entitled The Flourishing Church. We hope you enjoy.
Then come on, let's go. 1 Corinthians 12:12-20. Just as a body, though one, it has many parts, but all its many parts form just one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, enslaved or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many parts. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, it would look really flipping weird as it rolls down the hill. Oh, that's not what it says. Sorry. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. In verse 27, now you are part of the body of Christ. Each and every one of you is part of it. This is home. Amen. This is your home, praise God. Heavenly Father, help us all to receive your word today. God, help us to maybe scratch a little bit below the surface of this scripture and understand our individual value and place in your church. God, we love you and appreciate this moment, this time that we have for you to move in our lives and encourage our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody say amen. Turn to your neighbor, look them in the eye and say, this is home, and take your seats. You belong here, amen. Nobody can tell you you don't belong here. God designed the church, and God designed your church, and God put you in it, amen. Today we're launching a new sermon series called The Flourishing Church, and what's really exciting about this is that we've been praying about this series for months and months and months now. In fact, planning it even as late as November last year, planning this sermon series. Our team has been thinking about it, praying about it, helping me formulate it for so long now that I'm excited that we finally get to be at the stage we get to preach it today. We were going to preach it a couple of months ago, but delayed it because, you know, it felt like a sermon about the church would work better when we're gathering as the church. Yeah, felt like that made a little more sense to me anyway. Do not forsake the gathering of the believers. So I thought, well, you know, we better wait. So we sort of plan to do it now in July and August, and I'm so excited about it. And I'm not just excited because we've got, you know, cool graphics or because we rearranged the LED screens to look like that instead of how they were, or because we've got these great graphics designed by our designer. No, that's not why I'm excited. I'm not excited just about sermon illustrations or how fun it'll be to preach. No, I'm talking about excited for the hope and the unity and the incredible sense of purpose and power that it will bring into your life and into our church. Amen. See, because God began speaking to me a long time ago about this message, there are some things that we've been planning to launch and do as a part of this message over the next 4 weeks or so. You're going to hear us talk about a new thing we're calling the EC Crew, all right? That's the Eternity Church Crew, all right? And it'll function a little bit like membership and all that kind of stuff. And in there, we're going to have these crew nights that'll function a little bit like our team nights that we done last year, pre-Rona stuff. And now this year, we're talking about the crew nights. And actually, the very first one, we got the special guest, Chris Durso, coming on August 13th, 7 p.m. in the house to bring an encouraging word. Those crew nights are all about honoring, valuing, and encouraging the Eternity Church crew, the most committed people, the people who are giving and praying and serving in their church, and just saying thank you for what you're doing to be a part of the mission and the vision of Eternity Church. And so that'll be a great night, and you'll hear more about that leading up to that. We're also going to provide dinner and all sorts of great things, so excited about that. But I really am thrilled for the whole sermon series, all right? Just everything going on in this season. It's a great time. So whether you're online, whether you're on the patio or YouTube or Facebook or on our website or wherever you are in the room as well, just make a decision. I'm not going to miss a week. Because each and every week, God's going to reveal more and more of the purpose of your church, your fit in your church, the strength of your church, and the future of your church. And of course, how you can flourish in your life as you flourish in your church. Amen? So you ready? Some of y'all are ready. Are you ready? Are we ready up the back in the nosebleeds? Are you ready? Awesome. Come on. The title of today's message is Hundreds and Thousands, all right? In Australia, we have this stuff called fairy bread, all right? It's like bread, butter, and then you sprinkle these little colorful candies on them, hundreds and thousands, all right? And so the title of today's message is Hundreds and Thousands. The reason for that is that a flourishing church is a church that's made up of hundreds and of thousands of different parts. Different parts. See, I love that God chooses to use the analogy of a body as the church, right? You have a body, don't you? Do you have a body? Go on, everyone, reach up your hands. Yeah? Well, then, if you were able to do that, God bless you. Congratulations. Y'all got a body, all right? Come on. Come on, grab your hands, slap yourself in the face. You got a sense of feeling, too, all right? See, feel that? Y'all have a body. And so God chooses to use this analogy of the church as a body because we all understand what it means to have a body and to be a body and to have many parts of our body. We all know what it feels like to be hot and to be cold. We all know what it feels like to feel pain and to experience healing. We all know that there's a difference between our hands and our knees, and that though we appreciate them both, they do not form the same function, right? But they are a part of the body. So the illustration that the apostle paints for us as part of the body, we understand it. And when he talks about a part of the body yelling at another part of the body, it seems absurd, because it is absurd, right? See, in this room, as a church body, we got arms, we got legs, we got ears, we got left butt cheeks and right butt cheeks, come on. We got, some of y'all like, I'm sitting next to one right now. No? No one's willing to say that, are they? Good, that's appreciation. We got necks and eyes and tongues and lips, we got it all in this room. We've even got unseen parts, kidneys, tendons, blood, heart, lungs. I wonder which part you are. I wonder what you are in the church. Wonder what you're sitting next to, hey? Before when I said that, you were like, I know what I'm sitting next to, but you didn't want to say nothing. Hey, we need bottoms in the church. Sitting down would not be comfortable without bottoms in the church, amen? Come on. We need that person that you're sitting next to. And we need to value that person, even if they fulfill a different function than what you fulfill. So how bizarre would it be if you were just walking down the street one day and you saw some random dude yelling at his foot? Like, you're like, what? Like, some dude is walking down the street and he's like, you are the dumbest foot I've ever had. You've been attached to my ankle for 37 years. How do you not know how to avoid the edge of the table? What is wrong with you, you stupid foot? I don't need you. I know what y'all would be doing. You'd be like, whoa. Cross the road. You'd be a Samaritan. Sorry, you'd be like the priest in the Samaritan story at that moment, wouldn't you? You'd be like, I'm going to leave. Someone call the police. this guy needs help. There's something wrong with this person, right? How bizarre would it be to see someone sitting on a park bench somewhere yelling at a part of their body? That'd be weird, wouldn't it? Have you ever, cut up chilies and then touched another part of your body? Hey, come on. You ever cut up chilies and gone to the bathroom? Hey? All right, everybody, close your eyes and bow your heads up in here, all right? Put your hands up if. No, I'm just kidding. We won't go there. But have you ever cut up a chili and touched another part of your body? Ever cut up a chili and rubbed your eyelids and been like, ah! What if, can you imagine if you rubbed chili on your eyeballs and then if your eye started yelling at your tongue for experiencing the chili different than the eye did? See, because when your eye experiences the chili, it experiences pain. But when your tongue experiences chili, it experiences pleasure. So can you imagine if your eye then started yelling at your tongue and said, hey, I'm going to cut you off. We don't need you. If you're not going to experience chili the same way that I experience chili, I don't need you. It would be absurd, wouldn't it? So the tongue gets cut out of the body. The body can't eat anymore. The whole body dies along with the eye. Why? Because the eye wanted the tongue to behave like an eye. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Your tongue was not designed to be an eye. Your tongue was not designed to experience life in the same manner as an eye. Do you feel like right now, the whole world wants everybody to be an eye? Everybody has to be an eye. Everybody's got to see everything the same, to experience everything the same, to taste everything the same, to respond to everything the same. It is hot out there, isn't it? It's hot out there. Oh, everybody's got to be the same. You have to think the same, walk the same, talk the same, respond the same, and feel the same. But not everybody is an eye. Not everybody is a tongue. Not everybody is a hand. Amen? Speaking of hot, the actual temperature outside has gotten hotter too right now, yeah? Like it's summer. It's summer out there. And the temperature out there has gotten hotter. And last week, the air conditioner blew up at the Newman house. Yay! It's fantastic. It's brilliant. I don't believe the narrative that your air conditioner works harder when it's hot and blows up. I think they're programmed to blow up when it's hot because you'll spend the money because you don't like it. Anyone else agree with me? Yeah. Well, like, why does everything blow up a week out of warranty? Anyway. So last week, our air conditioner blew up, and our house inside began to get very hot. But, you know, our home and our family functions best when our air conditioner is on. It just does. It does. When the temperature inside our house is the same as the temperature outside our house, my kids get cranky. Like, they get angry. Our dog gets cranky and angry, and my wife gets cranky and angry, and I just endure it all. I'm fine. No problem. My kids start abusing each other over the dumbest little things. Things that wouldn't have bothered them if they weren't so sweaty, if they weren't so hot and bothered, then they would have been fine. We literally had one kid yelling at the other kid, we don't need you. You're the most annoying kid in the world. I'm sorry if your kids are perfect. My kids are the only ones that look at each other and say things like, we don't need you. Yeah, you're so perfect, all right. You can preach the sermon on family, all right? So Lauren and I, like, baby, we got to get a check on this temperature problem in our home. because it's not functioning right now. So we called the air conditioner guy. They come over. He's like, well, you need to do this and this and this and this and this and this. And we'll give you a special deal. $10,000. I'll tell you where you can put your special deal. After I woke up in the hospital being treated for cardiac arrest, Lauren and I started a conversation about the need to replace the air conditioner, about the benefits and the cost, and how the benefits outweigh the cost. Why? Because our home and our family functions best when we determine the temperature in our home. Our home functions better when the temperature of our home is separate to the temperature of the world outside. And my friends, it is the same with the world and the church right now. It is the same with the world and your family right now. We got to protect the church. We got to protect our families. We got to protect our souls from letting the temperature of the world out there creep into our homes and our families and our church. Because it's divided out there. It's heated out there. It feels like it's divided on everything that it could possibly be divided on. They're inventing new math to divide things on. The world's trying to separate us and divide us by what we differ in. We're fighting about masks out there. We're fighting about race out there. We're fighting about protests out there. We're fighting about coronavirus shutdowns or not to shut down. We're calling each other granny killers out there. We're fighting about politics. We're fighting about police funding. We're fighting about leaving the home or not leaving the home. Starting school or not starting school. Going to a restaurant or not going to a restaurant. Going to church or not going to church. We're fighting about fighting. And we got to make sure that in here and in our souls and in our families that the air conditioning is on. So that all that division and chaos and danger and anger and resentment doesn't make its way into this room. We got to make sure that the heat stays out there. It doesn't creep into our churches. Not just this church, but our churches and our families and our souls. Because out there they want to divide us based on how we differ. But we weren't ever designed to be the same. We're not supposed to be the same. Our earthen vessels and our earthly experiences are not supposed to be the same as the person sitting next to us. See, it is what is in us that is the same. It is what we are part of that is the same. And it's what we consume that is the same. See, the same spirit that is in you is in me. The same body of Christ that you are part of, I am part of. The same word of God that you consume, I consume, amen. Come on, it is the Holy Spirit in us. The same Holy Spirit, the same body of Christ that we're a part of, the same word of God that we're consuming, and that, my friend, is what unites us. But we aren't the same experiences, opinions, clothing choices, and political affiliations. Even our skin color. There aren't two white people that are the same shade of white. There aren't two black people that are the same shade of black. We are all different. Different countries of origin, different accents. Heck, I was born in Australia and I experienced my upbringing through that Australian lens. You didn't. He did. You didn't. And so we view things differently. We're not supposed to be the same. We're not meant to be the same. We're meant to be of the same. Of the same spirit. Of the same word. Of the same body. Amen. And so our church is made up of hundreds and thousands of unique, designed and crafted by God, parts. Hands up if you've ever been to Thailand. Give me a wave if you've ever been to Thailand. No one in this service. There you go. Oh, there is someone. There we go. My auntie Phuk is from Thailand. You have to be very careful how you say my auntie's name. All right? Very, very, very careful. Very, very careful with that one. And my auntie Phuk is from Thailand, and lots of Aussies go to Thailand, and people love Thailand. It's a beautiful place. And there's a very Thai phrase that I wonder if you've heard. And again, if you've been to Thailand, I can't see out the back here, but if you've been there and you recognize this phrase, give me a wave. It's same, same, but different. Yeah? Do you recognize that phrase from Thailand? Same, same, but different. Auntie Phuk would say it all the time, and all our Thai guests would say it all the time. Same, same, but different. Now, I understand that it could be used to sort of push a fake Rolex on someone, you know, like, yeah, yeah, same, same, but different, you know, or, you know, something like that, or a counterfeit $100 bill, you know, yeah, 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 same, same, but different, you know. Like, it could be for that, but it could also be used to describe Auntie Phuk and me. See, we're the same, same, but we're different, you know. We're both people. We've both got eyes and feet and hearts and stuff, but she's Thai and I'm Caucasian. We're the same, same, but different. In the church, we are same, same, but different. Same, same spirit, same, same body, same, same word of God, but different parts of the body. I don't want us to be a church where everybody looks the same. And everybody walks the same, and everybody talks the same, and everybody's got the same accent, and the same cars, and the same family experience. And when you drive into Eternity Church, there's 450 Mercedes-Benz, or 450 Chevrolets, or 450 Dodge Rams. No, 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 we all got different things that we like, different opinions. They say opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got them and most of them stink. I don't think so. I think opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got them and most people wear deodorant. Right? We're like, we're going to spray some Holy Ghost on those opinions. Hey, come on. Just invented that. Trademarked that. That's a good, there's a name of a book. We're not meant to be the same. In fact, hey, can I get two volunteers? I've got Judah coming up, my son. He's like, anytime I have a volunteer, he wants to be on stage. Throw that shirt on over the top, my little man. And is there anybody else? Can I have another volunteer? Yep, come on up. Come on up. You, yeah, that'll do. You're not wearing a white shirt, but it'll do. You can throw that over the top if you want. It's a small, it's like meant for him, but anyway. All right, good. Okay, now you don't have to. I can just spray. Oh, by the way, rule number one, you have to be willing to lose that shirt forever. It's done. It's ruined today, all right? In fact, you could get paint on anything you're wearing. Are you cool with that? Awesome. All right. Are you cool with that? Good. I know your parents. Your parents will buy you a new pair of shoes if we ruin them. So, all right. Now, here's what people think the church is. Now, Judah, don't rub this in until I tell you, all right? All right? Don't do anything to it until I tell you, okay? All right? Just wait, keep going, all right? Too many people think that what I'm about to do is draw you a picture of the church, all right? Now, Judah, I want you to rub that all in. Rub it in. Just smish it all up, all right where it is. Rub it in. Rub that in. There we go. All right, keep rubbing it in. There we go. Beautiful job. All right. You're an artist, all right? Well done. See this? This is how people think the church is. That we got like three or four different colors and opinion, mixed it all together, and now everybody's the same. Now all you can see is this sort of beigey, browny mush right there, and that's the church. Nobody stands out. We're all the same. We lost all of our individual characteristics. We're just the church. That's it, right? That's not the way God wants the church to operate. I am so sorry, Kate, but this is how it's going to be. This is how the church is supposed to be, all right? Lots of different colors and flavors everywhere. Oh, even got some on your arm. God bless you. Look at that. All these different colors. All these different flavors. This, my friends, is the way. Oh, look, smiley face. Come on. See, the church is always happy. Come over here, Kate. That's the way the church is meant to be. Lots of different people. Lots of different flavor. Lots of different color. Give him a hand. No, you give someone else a high five. Love you. Fist bump. Boom. Boom. Fist bump. There we go. Give Kate and Judah a hand. That's the way the church is meant to be. When we get together, we don't lose our individualism. We don't lose our unique characteristics. Bye, Kate. We don't lose our color. We don't all become mixed up and beige and all of a sudden boring. No. It's not supposed to be like that. It's not meant to be that way. The church is better when we are together, but unique. The same, but different. The same shirt, but lots of different colors. Same, but different. See, the same brings us unity. Those colors were unified on the same shirt. But the difference is where the vibrancy came from, amen? Same, but different. Same brings unity. But our difference is what brings the church the strength. We're not all feet. We're not all hands. We're not all butt cheeks. But we all got a purpose. We all got a reason. Come on, for being in the body of Christ. The more we consume the same word of God, the less sin we'll have in our lives. The more compassion we will have. The more right our spirits and our souls will be. The more time we spend together in the presence of God, the more healing we will experience. The more that we appreciate the unique way that God created us and the unique experiences that everybody else had, the stronger our church will be. But understand this. The world wants to infect the church and every facet of the world with this heated, intolerant atmosphere where individualism is an enemy to unity and strength. But it's a lie. It's a lie. Your individual characteristics bring strength. Amen. They bring strength. It is the same spirit. It is what we are the same in that brings us unity. And it is where we are different that brings us strength. So if you've found yourself infected with the atmosphere of the world, I pray that God brings you healing in the rest of this service. If you've been infected with the atmosphere of the world and you're frustrated because your wife or your husband has a different opinion on a political matter than you and is bringing disunity in your family, we bring in healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you found yourself infected with that atmosphere and there's just a heatedness in your family right now because there's a heatedness in the world, I pray that as we sing this last song that some Holy Ghost air conditioning gets turned on in your soul and in your family in Jesus' name, in your relationships, that you would see the benefit or at least appreciate the uniqueness of your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, there are people at Eternity Church that you probably won't ever meet. Did you know that? Because there's a couple of thousand people that attend this church. You ain't going to meet everybody. And guess what? It's okay. It's okay. You know, even if we were only 100 people in this church, you would meet everybody, but you wouldn't like them all. Hey, come on. And that's okay. I pray that you would see the benefit or at least appreciate the uniqueness of your brothers and sisters in Christ. But you don't have to be friends with everybody in the church. Some of you are like, that seems opposite. No, I think when you try to be friends with everybody in the church, you're kind of going counter how we were designed. You know, you're allowed to appreciate some people from a distance. You can do that. That's okay. Don't undervalue them or assume they don't belong because you don't get along, right? But there are some people that if you hang out with, you're just going to be like, seriously, so drained. Oh, my gosh. It's just true, right? Not everybody's going to be. Have you noticed that you can't lick your own elbow? Come on, whip out your arms. Everybody lift up your arms right now and try and lick your elbow. Give it a go. Come on, give it a go. Give it a go. Come on. You can't do it. You can't do it if your body's functioning the way God designed it to function. You can't do it if you're healthy. Yeah, you can cut it off and be like, look at this. And everyone's going to be like, what is wrong with you? Right? But you can't do it. Your elbow and your tongue were never designed to meet each other. Never. Do you know you can't kiss your own butt? Come on, who's grateful? Yes. I don't want to be near that thing. Come on. Hello. It's all good. They don't have to meet each other to need each other. Your elbow and your tongue don't have to meet each other to need each other. They don't have to meet each other to even appreciate each other. Because I know that if my elbow and my tongue get too close together, my body is not functioning properly. Not going to work. But they do need each other. They do need each other. You ever tried to, this is a hamburger now. You ever tried to eat a hamburger without using your elbow? Come on. It's like your burger's got corona. You know? Come on. You can't eat a hamburger without using your elbow. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. But they still need each other. Because if I don't use the elbow, the hamburger's never getting in my mouth. And if the hamburger doesn't get in my mouth, the elbow's going to die anyway. It's all right. It's all right. You don't have to be besties with everybody. But you can appreciate the uniqueness and the purpose of God on everybody. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, you don't have to be connected to everybody. You don't even have to be connected to half the bodies. You just got to be connected to somebody. Somebody that keeps you connected to the body, praying for you, loving on you, encouraging you, texting you, calling you, even when you don't want them to. Come on. Someone told me, hey, the church called me all the time during Rona. Didn't want them to. Oh, well. Sorry we like you. Sorry. Whatever. It's all right. They're good now. We're tight. It's all good. They're going to punch me for saying that, but we're good. You should come to Meet the Pastors. We got a Meet the Pastors event on August the something. It's not up there. Oh, it's the first Sunday of every month, yes. And so that's on Sunday night, August the 2nd at 6 p.m. out on the patio, out the front. So it's like outside, it'll be beautiful. We got pizza and we got pastors. Like, not just me and Lauren. Like, there's other pastors that we want you to meet. And at that moment, we'll take your details if you want, and we'll help you find a way to be connected in our church. And another thing, by the way, that we're going to do over the next few weeks as we get ready to close the service, to move into worship. Another thing we're going to do over the next few weeks is talk about small groups. And it's going to be a little different for some of y'all. You're going to be like, man, this church is different. But here's my view on small groups from now on until God says otherwise. You don't need my permission to be friends and study the Bible. Hello. Like, you don't need my permission. Hey, Pastor Jesse, there's this person I sit next to every week. Yes, this is how you sound to me. This is that I sit next to every week at church, and we'd really like to get together and study the Bible. Can we be a connect group? Just do it. You don't need the pastor's permission to be friends and study the Bible. You just need a heart that wants a friend and a Bible. And go and do it, all right? So we're going to talk a little bit more about that moving forward. That's going to be a fun sermon. Should be titled, All the Things You Don't Need Permission For. All right? Write that down, somebody. I remember that one. So, would you stand up with me as we get ready to, you know, give people an opportunity to give their lives to Jesus? But first, I want to pray for you all. Because I know I'm not talking about the temperature of the world, meaning you have to move faster or work harder or all the crazy things you've got to do in this season. We got to do what we got to do, right? We got to do what we got to do. But I'm talking about the temperature, not the tempo. I'm talking about the temperature. If you're in this place and you just want me to pray a prayer that God would help the temperature in your spirit, the temperature in your family, the temperature in your world to be regulated by the Holy Spirit. If you want the Holy Spirit to be your thermostat instead of the world being your thermostat, would you just lift up your hands right now? I'm going to pray for you. You're saying, I want the Holy Spirit. Come and be my thermostat. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I thank you that Jesus, you said that you need to go so that you can leave for us the Holy Spirit, the great comforter. Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that lives, that rose Christ from the dead, that lives in me and lives in all of us. We ask you to come and be the thermostat. To be the thermostat. Set the temperature in our families. Set the temperature in our spirits. Set the temperature in our hearts. God, we don't want to live a life dictated to by the temperature and the atmosphere of the world around us. But God, we want to live a life where it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is coming out of our hearts, out of our lives, out of our church, out of our relationships. God, we want your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and heal. Come and cool where it's gotten too hot. Come and guide us where we've had blinders. Show us the way, Lord. Show us the way. God, we give you permission to be the thermostat. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.